Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Thank you to Ryan Radke and Westwood One. I mean, if this isn't the ultimate Chiefs W, I don't know what is, Perloff. Welcome to the show, by the way. I mean, not only is it the Chiefs winning on a walk-off something, right? It's Patrick Mahomes having the ball in his hands to bleed out the clock over the last 5 minutes. It was so predictable. I didn't see the doink coming. That just added a little extra drama. But it's so Chiefs that even on their third kicker of the season, that they would get a field goal to win the game that doinks off the upright and still goes in.
Yeah, I think actually everyone's like, oh, the Chiefs feel inevitable. I think there's a correction coming because they're on a three-game win streak. They lost, got killed by your Bills. Not got killed, yeah, but they lost pretty decidedly. Then they beat Carolina, Vegas, and the Chargers. The Chargers are a shell of the Chargers. You know, they didn't have Ladd McConkey, and they don't have their running back. Like, I didn't even know. I'd never heard of some of the targets last night.
Stone.
Yeah, who is that guy?
What's his name? Stone Smart?
And then
Stone Smart.
They kept throwing to Josh Palmer, who we know can't catch, and he was good. So the Chiefs are messing with everybody. I think they might have two losses coming up. They're at Cleveland, by the way. I don't think nothing's guaranteed with the Chiefs. They decide that they're not going to beat anybody by more than a touchdown. So at Cleveland, Houston, that's not decided at all. At Pittsburgh and at Denver, I think your Bills are still alive for this number one because I watched the Chiefs last night. I'm like, ooh, they're not good. They're just not great. I mean, they're good. They're not great.
See, when I watch this and I just see how the game flow is going, and it's like that one moment when the Chargers have to kick the field goal and can't go for the touchdown, that, and then you give the ball back to Mahomes, like, you're just not getting the ball back. It's just not happening. Or something else would go right for the Chiefs. I don't know if it's a correction. I was thinking a couple things. One, Chiefs now have a two-game lead up in the AFC. So if they get home field advantage again through Arrowhead, I know last year they didn't have it and they went to the Super Bowl and won anyway. But for a Chiefs team that, yeah, I'll agree with you, maybe is not the juggernaut that we're used to, having home field is going to be everything. So they got they accomplished their goal in that way where they put a little cushion between themselves and the Bills for the number one overall seed.
And the Steelers.
And the Steelers as well. Good point. I don't see it as a correction. I see it as just things are breaking their way during this dynasty. And that's just what's happening. And the dynasty's not over. And that's what it feels like to me
now. Kind of like the Patriots?
Kind of. And so, I know the Patriots didn't win every game and the Giants beat them in the Super Bowl and all that. But I just, this Chiefs team, there's a belief. Whereas opposed to the Bills go on the road yesterday, they play one of the worst halves of football that we've seen this entire season. Mm-hmm. Make this furious comeback and lose because they have some boneheaded coaching decisions. Like, you're never going to get that with the Chiefs.
No, that's true. Well, Andy Reid has had a few of those over the years. Yeah, I just think that, first of all, Patrick Mahomes is getting hit practically every play because he has no idea where to throw the ball because his targets are terrible. I mean, they definitely do not.
Not as bad as the Chargers. The Chargers need some wide receiver help big time.
Last night, he just doesn't trust anybody. Maybe Hopkins, and then at the end, Kelsey. But I just think that he just does not have a receiver to throw to. He misses Rashee Rice so badly right now. That would totally transform them. They're very, very non-explosive.
But
you agree with
Pacheco
that?
They got Pacheco back, and that
is... Yeah, thank God.
And that's another thing that helps them salt these games away. It's like they're just so good at playing the clock management game. And how many times is it teams beating themselves or, you know... Just the Chiefs are the smarter team with the best quarterback, and that gives them such a gigantic edge in this sport.
But can't you see them being in a dogfight with Jameis Winston and the Browns in Cleveland next week?
I don't know if it matters. I don't know if it does, because look, they're winning the games where they absolutely must, which is they beat the Broncos on a last-second blocked field goal. They're beating the Chargers. They're cruised to another division title.
They definitely should have lost to the Broncos. I mean, they definitely, definitely should have lost to the Raiders. And the Raiders are terrible.
Well, they just wait for the Raiders to pee down their leg, which is what happened.
I mean, okay. And the last night, I'm telling you, that Chargers team was not right either. I'm like, what is going on? They're beating some very, very average teams. So this last run of four teams is not easy. You get some brutal defenses coming at you. You're going to have some serious pass rushers. I know last night they have good, but you got Myles Garrett. Then you got the Will Anderson is back and Danielle Hunter on Houston. Then you got that Pittsburgh crew and then Denver. Like, this is going to be, there might be some ugly moments for the Chiefs offense in the coming 4 weeks, which is fine. Just don't get Mahomes hurt.
Man, I think they find a way to beat these teams. They will continue to do it. It's like an object in motion tends to stay in motion, whatever that property is of physics. I'm clearly not a math and science person, but that's what it feels like to me. It's this momentum of the Chiefs. 855-212-4227, that they'll find a way and you won't. The Chiefs winning last night, just one of the stories that happened over a very packed weekend. The inaugural 12-team college football playoff bracket has been released. We got some issues. We do. I have an issue with Oregon being the number one overall seed, being undefeated, and having one of the hardest quarterfinal matchups that exists in this bracket. Congratulations, Oregon. You get the winner of Tennessee, Ohio State. Since when is that okay for a number one seed to have such a hard path? I have less of a problem with Alabama being left out. In fact, I have no problem with Alabama being left out. SMU falls by a walk-off field goal from Clemson in the ACC championship game. I still believe that SMU deserved to be in.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, except I do have just a problem with the way the field did not consider the strength of schedule. It really was not a factor at all. It meant nothing. At the end of the day, did it have any impact on anything? No. So that's the problem with college football, because I do believe the SEC is not just talking. I think they're going to scrap a lot of their non-conference schedules, and we're going to have boring Septembers. But that's cool, because we'll have the NFL. We'll just sort of get our way through, like, seeing Tennessee play Western Kentucky or something. I just think the schedule is going to get much weaker, not better, after the way this committee went down.
Let's go to Mark. He's an Alabama fan. Mark, are you here to complain?
No, I'm not here to complain. You just made my point for me. I'm obviously an Alabama fan. I have been all my life. I remember Coach Bryant and, you know, all the coaches since and the teams. And I don't think Alabama earned their way into the playoffs this year. They didn't play well enough. They weren't consistent. They made too many mistakes. You know, they played well the first half. And you know, we're off of second half. Yeah. And so, you know, they don't deserve it. I don't think Notre Dame deserves it. Somehow they get a pass.
Well, but Notre Dame, Mark, is playing in it's a different, I hate to say conversation. The conversation should be the same for all these teams, but it's just not, because Notre Dame's schedule is not what Alabama's schedule is. I'll totally concede that point. And Mark, thank you for the call and the level head. But
Notre Dame's schedule is so quirky because they're independent.
It's
like,
always
really,
like that.
You can't,
yes.
If you want to talk about the system, which I think is really what we're ultimately talking about today, then you really can't even talk about Notre Dame because there's nobody else in their situation.
Let's hear from Ward Manuel. So he's the athletic director for Michigan, and he's the guy who has to come out and explain the thought process. He said the SMU-Bama debate was robust.
We looked at the number of wins that Alabama had against ranked opponents. We looked at SMU's schedule, and they were undefeated in conference. Their losses were to ranked teams. But we also looked at Alabama's loss to unranked teams. And it was quite a debate. I mean, we value strength of schedule. That's why Alabama, as a three-loss team, is ranked ahead of other teams that have two losses.
Right, so if that doesn't make sense to you, they do a ranking 1 through 25, the committee. But that's not the seeding. The seeding for the bracket is totally different because of these predetermined rules about who was getting first-round byes, which was conference champions. And it ends up being the Big Ten, the SEC, the Big 12, and the Group of Five winner, which was Boise.
The
ACC winner didn't even get a bye. That's Clemson. They have to play Texas in the first round.
I mean, right. If you didn't have the conference championship winners, you would knock Clemson out with three losses, and you would probably knock out Arizona State. Boise, I think, makes it.
And I think they would deserve to be in this field. Yeah. I just don't know if they would deserve to have a first-round bye, but that's the way it works out.
Yeah, I think Boise would have made it over Alabama. It is kind of funny. Clemson, of course, recently lost to South Carolina, who Alabama beat. Like, if you're going to play this game, you can knock anybody out. You kind of mentioned, I think there's going to be change coming because of the road that Oregon is facing.
Well, and what's a bummer about that is because you feel like this is a heck of a year to be the guinea pig. It's like, oh, we've got to be the guinea pig for this crazy, you know, first time ever for a college football playoff. We happen to have the best team. We happen to be the undefeated team. We're the first ever one seed in a 12-team college football playoff. And the flaws of this format are just so glaring.
But I don't think their road is that hard, though. I mean, I know they had trouble with Ohio State, but I'm not sure Ohio State gets past Tennessee. Like, Ohio State, you can't win in college football when you run for 1.5 yards a carry, especially when you have a bunch of NFL players on your offense. Like, Ohio State will find a way to play down.
Well, let's see. Tennessee might beat Ohio State. It might be
Tennessee. That's what I'm saying. Like, and definitely Tennessee is not going to scare Oregon. Tennessee is not even having a good year for Tennessee, and somehow they're here.
Well, but they're an SEC team.
Yeah, they have good lines. They have good defensive line and offensive line, but they're certainly nothing like that great Hendon Hooker team.
No, but what do they always say? What's the cliche about what do you need to be a good team on the road?
Yeah,
good lines. That's the saying. Good lines travel.
I think it was on our friends at the Pick Six podcast. I'm sorry, what's the Cover Three podcast, CBS Sports, with Danny Cannell. It's just like, yeah, these teams are in the playoff. In a normal year, none of them would be here. Like, I think NIL.
Not none of them, but yeah, I get your point.
Yeah, NIL and transfer portal. Like, they're like, oh, these teams are much weaker than what we're used to because the talent is so spread out. That just means this 12-team playoff is going to be chaos, which to me says, like, I don't know that Oregon's draw is any harder than anyone else's because we have no idea. I mean, Oregon, I know they sort of let Penn State back in that game. Like, is Penn State good? Does anyone know?
No, all I know is James Franklin now goes to 1-14 against teams ranked in the top five. That's tough.
And not good against top 10 either.
Not good against
top
10 either.
Which I think he'll see a few of those. It's going to be fun. I have no faith in my Penn State Nittany Lions. None whatsoever. Like, you cover that one guy, that tall 44, like, they're done.
The running backs played well, actually, against Oregon. This was interesting for Oregon because their defense just was not what we have seen throughout the season. Now, to be fair, the offense was also amazing. Dylan Gabriel with a four-touchdown, no-turnover performance. I mean, he was really good. So Penn State gets SMU in the first round. That's at State College. And then they would, if they beat SMU, they play Boise State in the Fiesta Bowl. That is as good as it's going to get for a sixth seed in this bracket.
But what does that mean about Oregon? Because we saw their offense completely falter against Wisconsin, and their defense was good. So, like, there's no rhyme or reason. Like, you can't say, oh, Oregon's defense is the big vulnerability coming into this tournament because it just doesn't make any sense. None of this makes any sense. I think anybody who thinks they know how this is going to play out is crazy.
So, coming up, we will pick our upsets. Who do we think is going to be upset in the first round? Again, these are the opening games. It's going to be, as we said, Ohio State playing Tennessee. That's going to be in Columbus. Winner would play Oregon. You have Texas hosting Clemson. That's the 5-12 in Austin. You've got Indiana traveling, not far, in-state to Notre Dame to play the Irish in South Bend. And then you have State College, Pennsylvania, the site of SMU traveling to Penn State. We'll pick an upset for you.
All right.
A few.
Yeah, I mean, all right, let's just admit it, just a preview. I'd be shocked if anyone picks Indiana to beat Notre Dame. That one feels like a tall mountain to climb. I have to be honest, I've not seen the spreads on all these games. They're 2 weeks away, right? So, yeah, this is, I'm not sure, like, is an upset really an upset in all these cases? Are there upsets in college football right now, or is it total parity?
855-212-4227. Coming up, we've got that, and also a big question about one of these college football playoff teams that we have not discussed yet, and who is getting by on reputation. We'll get to that next.
All right, Maggie. I look like I'm in a good mood today. That is because I bet the under, not bet the under, I picked the under on Justin Herbert on Prize Picks yesterday. Prize Picks is the best. You can make your holidays big and bright because there's so many games, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money action while watching your sports. Over 10 million members, billions of dollars in awarded winnings. They made daily fantasy sports accessible to all, simple to use. Pick two or more players across any sport. Pick more or less of their projection. You could win up to 200 times your money. It's going to be so good for college football playoff.
Yeah, and how about this? Because the holiday season is in full swing at Prize Picks, they're giving away two free picks in December. They're giving away $30-plus million in rewards during Picksmas. I love a pun. Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. It's available to play in more than 40 states, including California and Texas. See if it's available in your state. Download it now.
Yeah,
this holiday season is going to be awesome with Prize Picks.
Download the Prize Picks app and use the code MNP to get a $50 credit instantly when you play just $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play just $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. All right, we're back here on Maggie and Perloff. So much going on today. Wild NFL Sunday. Crazy noontime ESPN. The final 12. I think nobody's happy. Is it fair to say that no one's happy? And they're definitely changing the system this year. I'm just curious, if they keep on screwing over the SEC, is the system going to see a real massive sea change where Big Ten and SEC take their ball away and go form their own thing? And the only reason I think that that is not ridiculous is because the change is happening so fast in college football. Look at conference realignment this year, Maggie. Like, it came fast and furious. It's just insane how fast you get. All of a sudden, you get NIL, and now next year, maybe players are going to get paid. Like, nothing is permanent, and it can change in 2 years. I don't even care what the deals are. They just rip them all up and say, hey, let's go.
Yeah, it's very Zoolander. I don't care what the date says. The problem with this is, I think that what really blew apart college football, let's take steps back. Like, let's really go 30,000 feet. College football had been very slow about changes for a long time until the pandemic, right? The pandemic really shined a spotlight that said, clearly you're not treating students and student athletes the same, because some are allowed back on campus and the other are not allowed back on campus, and the other you're trying to play in eight home games a year. It became so glaring of how hypocritical it was, and there was this sort of inflection point. I don't know if that amount of change and the speed with which the sport changed, I don't know if that just means that's how it's changing from here on out. I could see conference commissioners, administrators, all the people in our life who are so responsible for red tape. I don't see them all of a sudden just keeping this rate of change, because I think the TV networks would say, well, what am I paying for? If the SEC and the Big Ten want to take their ball and go home and go to a different, go to their own tournament. So you're telling me I got to shell out more billions when I just shelled out all these billions? Like, what's going on?
I mean, the NBA, which is by all accounts slumping, just got $29 billion in their new deal. So trust me, college football could find the money if ESPN's not interested. I totally disagree with that thing about the pandemic, because I think the O'Bannon ruling had already come down. Like, Congress had been Congress and the Supreme Court and everybody had been dunking on college football for 10 years. Like, common sense prevailed. These basically, you watch a college football game, there's 400 commercials. Like, that money has to start going to the players. It's been insane.
I know,
and it changed way before the pandemic because, like, I think NIL passed in Florida in 2019. Like, it was already, like, it was becoming very clear because both the Republicans and the Democrats were destroying the NCAA.
Yeah.
Systematically just hammering them in court and in legislation.
I get that, but I think the pandemic was the inflection point of this because it was so glaring how two different types of students were being treated so differently. And it was like the catalyst to just speed everything up because it had been existing for 100 years where we know that players should have been getting paid and they weren't, like, in a real way. Let's go to Ronnie, who's in Montgomery, Alabama. Ronnie, you mad that Alabama got left out?
Oh, no, ma'am, not at all. And I'm an Alabama fan. You know, they didn't play well enough to deserve getting in. But what I was wanting to comment about was, I think what would make people happy would be, first of all, get rid of the committee. Second, go by the AP poll.
Yeah.
And then your top 12 or top 16 or whatever it's going to be, you know, in the future or whatever. Have one play 16, two play 15, and so on and so forth until you get down to the championship game. And I think that'd solve a lot of this insanity is the way I see it.
You know, Ronnie.
So thank y'all for taking my call.
Thanks for making it. Couple very salient points there. Yep. First of all, we are not seeing Alabama fans who are calling us today or on in Alabama who are so wildly upset. It feels like TV and maybe Nick Saban are more upset about this than anybody. But you'd understand Coach Saban. Ronnie has a great point here. Why do we need a third set of rankings? We've got the AP. We've got the coaches poll. Why do we need a third set of this college football playoff rankings? Why can't they just work off the AP?
The coaches poll, forget about it, because who knows how much attention the coaches are actually paying to it. The AP is writers. I don't know. Like, you trust them? Like, I'm not sure they should pick the writers should pick the national champion. That seems weird.
Well, they're not picking the national champion. They're just picking the field.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't seem ideal either. I think you need to get, like, insiders, you know, people in the industry.
Yeah, but they have biases too. Yeah, Nico.
Wasn't that why they brought the BCS into it, though? Because they didn't like how the AP poll was doing things?
Yeah. Everyone was screaming that the BCS wasn't right. And if you can't trust the computers, our future overlords, our current overlords, then who can you trust? But again, you know, Ronnie makes a couple good points. Who needs another committee? In sports and in life, more meetings, more emails.
When
does it end?
I get it. I get what he's saying. When Miami was taken out last week, I was trying my best to pick holes at this committee. I don't know how much I love having the ADs in there, but there are former football coaches, former football players in there. So it's not like there are just these suits who don't know anything about football, like, making these picks. That's just not the case. Jim Grobe's in there, respected. Sure. Gary Pinkel, I think, is in there. So it's respected former coaches. I do think, though, I would wish there would be maybe a bigger pool and there'd be actual polling. Like, I don't think I like the whole consensus because I don't really know, well, who is picking who's voting for what. Like, I think what I like about what the NBA did with, like, the awards, how they had to vote and you had to hold your record to your vote. Like, if you're a media member, we now know who you voted for.
Yeah, it's transparent.
Yeah, I kind of like that. And I think that would maybe help with this situation. Like, we can go and say, okay, who said that SMU should be over Alabama? Who said Alabama should be over SMU? Who ranked Ohio State where they were? If we had that, I think maybe it'd be a little better. Instead of having 15 or 20 guys say and women say we all came to a consensus and this is how it happened. We know that's not how it went down.
Right. You want to see who picked who,
right,
who said what. You want ballots overturned.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I get it. Not overturned, revealed.
Yeah, revealed. Right, yeah.
But also, too, about Alabama, one thing, like, this is obviously a weird year of Alabama because they just lost Nick Saban and their best players left. I mean, Caleb Downs would be the best player on that team by a large stretch. And Jalen Milroe doesn't fit with the new coach. So I don't know. Like, I'm very curious. Like, is Alabama going to cause problems with this committee? Because I don't know if they're going to be good next year. Are they? Like, is Kellen DeBoer good, Maggie? He seems good, but I don't think this was, like, him and Milroe don't seem like oil and water. This is not. Oh. I remember Michael Penix last year for him was running his offense to the tee, and Alabama was a bit of a mess this year. So I think it's a weird year for Alabama, but generally, like, you can't leave them out every year. You got to get them in here.
Sorry, I didn't mean to jump into that. Yeah. I think that that could be a Milroe thing.
I don't know. I mean, that team was pretty good last year.
They also needed one of the most epic, like, touchdown throws and catches to beat Auburn in the Iron Bowl. And then, to their credit, took Michigan to the wire in overtime. I get it, but they couldn't do center quarterback snaps right. I mean, there was a lot of things with Alabama that were not perfect last year, too.
Yeah, I mean, I just think you should run Milroe all the time. Like, that's, like, his strength, and that's not Kellen DeBoer's strength. Like, isn't he run a passing offense?
Yep.
Yeah, so I just think they're, regardless of what you think of Milroe, like, he's not a Kellen DeBoer quarterback. I don't know what a Kellen DeBoer quarterback is, but, and also, too,
like Michael Penix, he's had him for didn't he have him for, like, 6 years?
Like, he just got in there a little too late. He just got in there a little too late to fix his roster. When Downs left and then Caden Proctor left, and I guess that all, whatever happened there, like, you got to give the guy a break. I think Kellen DeBoer is under a lot of pressure next year because this, you're right, everyone's calling in. Nobody from Alabama is mad about this, but it's just a messy situation here because at some point the SEC is going to get furious.
No one from Alabama is calling in mad because they lost to Oklahoma in the way they did, but they're not mad yet. I'm going to tend to agree with you that DeBoer is going to come in. It's going to feel a little different. It's like, all right, even Saban, you know, was not perfect in his first season at Alabama, but then he picked it up real fast. Now, college football is different than back when Coach Saban took over. Quickly, Ramon is in Indianapolis. Ramon, congratulations. Two teams from the state of Indiana, both in this bracket.
Yeah, and then they put them against each other on purpose. To eliminate one of them, because I guess they didn't want to look like they had any type of state or Midwest bias or something like that. I agree with that previous caller about Notre Dame. I've debated with a number of people, especially my brother. He's a Notre Dame fan. Notre Dame hasn't played anybody. You know, Indiana only played Ohio State. So I think the problem is that in the SEC, they have no choice but to beat each other up. You're going to have two and three loss, maybe even four loss teams eventually, especially next year when the schedules even get tougher. And we need these other schools. We need people to play. Oregon really only played a competent, you know, Ohio State team. They didn't really play anybody in the Big Ten. The Big Ten is terrible. That's why IU probably benefited from that, from a weak conference. Yeah. What we want to see going forward is these teams playing each other in regular season. I think the networks want to see it. That'll drive ratings. I think it'll be good. We just saw Buffalo last night against the Rams. That was probably great for L.A. and L.A. market to see that game. We should see more of these regular season games because we got a playoff now, but we shouldn't have to rely on people trying to have these shiny records.
Ramon, it's the opposite, though. We're getting the exact opposite from the people in charge. They want Ramon. Thank you. You like the AFC and the NFC showdown yesterday between the Bills and the Rams. You know, they want. They're saying the opposite now. The SEC is saying, well, we're not going to schedule anybody in the non-conference because feel like we have no margin for error. I'm sorry. What was Ramon? What was the theory there? The committee put Indiana and Notre Dame in the first round. On purpose. To knock one of them out so that it didn't look favorable to the Midwest?
Correct. So you don't have two Indiana teams possibly in the semifinal or deep into the playoff where it's like, how did this happen?
I actually thought, oh, man, they want like a local matchup.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Wait, and I guess it doesn't make sense, but I thought that's what the 7-10 was.
What is this, Hoosianon? Like, who is actually floating this theory? And by the way, when I said that Oregon getting the number one overall seed, I thought should have gotten a more favorable quarterfinal matchup. I was told by everyone here, what were they going to do? Everyone's locked in. They have to play the winner of Tennessee, Ohio State. There's no way that you could play with it. But clearly,
well, the Big Ten headquarters is famously in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Ward Manuel is a Michigan guy who's leading this. So I see what Ramon is. I don't agree, but I see what the dots Ramon is trying to connect there.
Where I disagree with your take, Maggie, is I think like Notre Dame is not any worse than Ohio State or Tennessee. Like, I don't think there's some easy outs in this field for Oregon. Like, Notre Dame would be favored against Tennessee, wouldn't they? Or am I?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. But this is just interesting that you guys are willing to say that the committee set this up to be cute. But when it comes to Oregon, you can't pot the number one overall seed, not just whoever would have been there. But this year it's Oregon.
Well, they
can't get anything. They get they get no reward, air quotes, for being the number one.
Well, I mean, to be cute, I guess you would have had to move Ohio State out of there, but I don't know. They were 8. Like, you can't, do you move them up to 7 or you move them down to 10? I guess. I don't know. It seems hard to do.
I mean, the only way you would have been able to do it is either you put Indiana ahead of Ohio State, even though they lost Ohio State head-to-head.
But that's not happening.
Or you move Penn State back to 8 and say, well, Penn State lost Ohio State, so therefore we're putting Penn State in that spot. But then you're punishing Penn State for playing a tough Oregon team in a Big Ten championship game where they lost by one score.
You're not punishing them because you didn't take them out of the bracket totally. You can drop someone more than 2 spots for losing. I just don't think you want to drop them out. Andrew Bogish is here with headlines on this fine Monday morning. We have so much to get to. What's up, folks?
Guys, good morning again. These headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's heating up, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks, use code PRIMETIME, and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
That's prime time. We want people to actually sign up.
I'm sorry, prime time.
Yes.
That's my fault. Read too fast. The Mets now have the Wayne Gretzky of vasectomies of right fielders. Juan Soto isn't a Yankee or Red Sox or Dodger. He's a Met for the bargain basement price of $765 million, but over 15 seasons.
That's not a lot.
The 26-year-old has reportedly gets a $75 million signing bonus. There are no deferrals in this deal. The last Yankee offer is said to be for 16 years and $760 million. The Chargers didn't commit a dumb penalty or snap the ball at the wrong time or have their game-winning field goal blocked. They just couldn't stop the Chiefs for the final 4.5 minutes. KC driving from Matthew Wright's game-winning 31-yard field goal as time expired last night at Arrowhead. Justin Herbert on what could have been.
It's always a tough game, and for those guys to stick in there, battle it, didn't go our way at the end. But, you know, I have a lot of appreciation for those guys sticking and fighting and doing everything they can, all 4 quarters.
Herbert and company were down 13-0 at the half, then scored on all 3 second-half possessions, but they lose 19-17. They join the Broncos at 8-5, but win a tiebreaker for the 6th seed right now. The Chiefs, they are 12-1 and AFC West champs for the 9th season in a row, but Patrick Mahomes was sacked 3 more times last night, so that's 13 in their last 3 games.
By the way, is Justin Herbert going to survive the season or any week? Like, that's just, it's hard to watch at a certain point.
Yeah, he took, like, basically an entire body weight of a launched missile of a person into his thigh. That looked really painful.
And that wasn't even the worst hit. There was one early on where he threw the ball and somebody hit him in the ribs, too. It's brutal. He's just such a big target, and he holds on to the ball to the last minute.
I'm getting some Big Ben vibes from him.
Mm.
Like, I wonder what the end of his career looks like. Like, is he too beat up? He takes a lot of hits because he thinks he can take it, I think.
Yeah. I mean, Mahomes took a lot of hits last night, too. How many times did Mahomes get licked? Like at least a dozen.
For sure.
So Maggie can't believe the Bills lost to the Rams despite 6 Josh Allen touchdowns. If only Buffalo had Sam Darnold.
JJ in motion to the right. 3rd and 8. Minnesota 6 of 11 on 3rd down. Sam, under a lot of pressure. How'd you get away from that? Now he throws deep. Justin wide open.
That's Paul Allen on Vikings radio, and that might have been my favorite touchdown yesterday because there's a Jaguar defensive back that's dying behind Justin Jefferson.
Atlanta, you mean?
Yeah, Atlanta.
Atlanta, I'm sorry. He's just like, diving in the wrong direction. He's 10 yards away. It looked like me playing defense against my son and Matt. I don't know where the buttons are. Yeah. My guy's like diving and jumping. I still don't know what happened to that poor man. I hope he's okay since. But Darnold yesterday, 347 and 5 scores, 2 to Jefferson, 3 to Jordan Addison. Both those numbers, the yards and touchdowns, career highs for Sam in a 42-21 thumping of Kirk Cousins and those Falcons. Atlanta's now dropped 4 straight in that skid. Cousins, 0 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, but I guess his job is safe, says Raheem Morris.
Kirk played significantly better than he did the week before. We got a chance to go out there and focus on us and get a chance to go out there and really work on what we do and what we do well. And we'll do whatever is best to go win football games. And Kirk's definitely a part of that.
He played better than the week before when he threw four interceptions. Right. Like, cool. I don't know if this is the time to be doing baby steps trying to make the playoffs.
I mean, that division, oh my God. Even the Bucs, I know they won, but they look terrible too. How come the NFC South can be this bad for this long? I mean, the Falcons are going to win this thing and they're 6-7?
Well, the Bucs right now will have the one game lead, but the Falcons have the tiebreakers. They've already swept Atlanta of the Bucs so far this season. Non-CFP news, Purdue hires UNLV head coach Barry Odom, and Tulane's John Sumrall has reportedly taken his name out of consideration for the UNC job that Bill Belichick apparently wants. LeBron missed his first game of the season with a foot injury last night, and the Lakers beat the Blazers 107-98. Just snap a three-game skid. Anthony Davis, 30 points, 11 boards. Bronny had a block in 3 minutes. Steph Curry scored 30 in the Warriors' 114-106 win over the T-Wolves, and the Suns lost in Orlando 115-110. Phoenix now 1-9 without Kevin Durant. The Colorado Avalanche, a 4-0 win in New Jersey, and Lando Norris won the F1 finale in Abu Dhabi yesterday, clinching the team title for McLaren. Lewis Hamilton finishes fourth in his final race for Mercedes. He now moves to Ferrari. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, we're going to need you to put on your Johnny Journalism hat for a little bit.
Okay.
And do a deep dive to figure out which New York Giants player left free tickets for the OnlyFans woman to come and flash the Saints sidelines. We're going to really need your best work on this one.
So I was literally just going back through the posted messages and texting some sources. And in the back and forth with this woman, he says, you'll know my number right away, like at the game.
Yeah.
So what number could that be? Like, there's only one naughty number that I can think of.
Yeah. We're 69.
Right.
But that's going to be an offensive lineman.
What, they can't pay for boobs?
No, I'm sure they can, and I'm sure they have. I'm just wondering, is that what offensive lineman for the Giants is like, I got the by the way, isn't it better actually, the Giants are trying to lose right now. So yeah. You guys have not seen the story. This woman from OnlyFans claims and has the receipt, she posted it, but claims that a New York Giants player sent her free tickets, but she needed to complete the assignment of flashing the Saints players to try to distract them. I would think you'd want to be flashing your own players because you're trying to lose right now to get the number one pick.
So the Giants do have a number 69. He's a defensive lineman, Corey Durden, a first-year player from NC State.
Suspect number one.
Yeah.
He kind of...
has to be.
That's a kind of a big thing for a rookie to pull off, don't you think?
He had a pretty good game. He had a tackle for a loss here. It was one of the only games he played this year. This is adding up.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only game he registered stats.
I mean, who's sending this? Is like, are they in the Rob Gronkowski school of like that to say that you'll know by my number? Anyway, Perloff so not into this story.
No.
Conscientious objector.
Oh, I thought we were talking about the Giants. That means it's nap time for me.
She'll wake you up.
By the way, what was the final score of that game?
14-11.
Block field goal.
No, I did see it.
Elite tanking.
EJ said that this is the only game that he's registered stats. What did he like? Go to Dable and be like, my girl's gonna be in the crowd. You gotta let me play.
Alyssa's here, and Dayball was like, yeah, great.
He's taking requests.
My girl Alyssa Phoenix with three X's.
By the way, also somebody decided to fly a plane over the stadium.
Also her. That's how she got there.
That said, Mr. Mara, fix this dumpster fire. And I just love that you would go through the hiring a plane, having the message on it, flying it over the stadium, but still refer to the owner as Mr. Mara. Like, what? Now it's all, you know, the pleasantries.
What do you want, Johnny Boy? What do you want to
say? Just like, hey, idiot, change the team. Not Mr. Mara. Like, so now we're being all deferential and polite. Anyway, Malik and Neighbors.
And he's not going to listen either, right? Mara's running it back, isn't he?
Looks like it. Malik Neighbors was asked about it after. He goes, I didn't hire the plane.
That was a pretty furious comeback from your Giants. That might have made you nervous yesterday, huh?
Oh, you think I was watching that game?
Well, once the OnlyFans model showed up, I think a lot more people tune in.
Pro during the Jet game was like, this is a, during the Jets overtime, like, this is a big overtime. I'm like, For who?
Not I me. Think, no, that one I disagree with. Like, Rodgers needed a W so bad yesterday. For
well, narrator
for something.
I don't get it.
Yeah. I think the fact that he didn't single-handedly blow the game is kind of a W for Rodgers. Like the defense, that's fine. Like
I know I get it, Pearl. Your Eagles are great. I think you have to understand just how checked out New York football fans are right now. They think that we care anything.
Well, that's why I had to bring up the girl going to flashing everybody. It's the only interesting thing that happened at the game yesterday.
See, I think the Jets are still interesting to people. The Giants, no.
Poll question. Are the Jets interesting? Yes, no. 855-212-4227 right now. Are they interesting right now?
Make okay. Perloff tweet that at poll question.
What's the question?
You do that on one of your side polls on your own account.
Are the Jets interesting? Yes.
If it's a Perloff poll, it'd be like, unless you're an idiot, do you agree with me that the Jets are interesting?
Well, no, because my fan base has no New York in it, so they don't Fair. Think like you guys at all. They know that Juan Soto is going to be a total disappointment. You guys are still in the New York haze.
Day one, we get to be excited about this. Mm-hmm. Not any of your Philadelphia storm cloud negativity can wash over us today.
You're the Met.
And this is a huge day for the Mets to get Juan Soto.
You're the Met.
855-212-4227. Okay. Back to the college football playoff. Perloff and I have our first round upset for you. Yes, we're already diving in to the matchups. Don't move. We get back to the college football.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Football playoff bracket in just a moment, but if you'll indulge me. That was a brutal way for the Bills to lose yesterday. And they came out and played one of the worst first halves of football that I've seen. This felt like old Bills, like how they lost to the Ravens, Perloff, where the defense was just getting gashed. That was actually a little more by the run. This was by Matthew Stafford, Sean McVay just tearing apart the Bills secondary, and Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp just having amazing days. And the Bills were powerless. I mean, they could not stop anything that the Rams were doing. And on the offensive side, at least in the first half, the Bills could not sustain a drive to try to give their defense a breather or try to keep pace. Now, they enter the fourth quarter down 17 points and find themselves only down 3. I mean, how the Bills came back in this game was because Josh Allen had to be the Superman of Superman. I mean, you need a different superhero. I'll go to EJ on this one. I don't even know who's better than Superman, but that's what Allen had to be. And listen, Bills fans have had enough of this with Sean McDermott. Whenever it comes down to a situational moment where either the clock, the opponent, or the timeouts, or all of those working in concert present something that's not easy. It can be tricky to figure this stuff out. I'm not saying it's an easy in the moment, but how many times have the Bills come up short in these instances where you have the best player on the field? No doubt it was Josh Allen, and he was doing everything he possibly could. And because of some boneheaded coaching decisions, they lose this game when they could have stolen it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they're 10-3. Has he made that many bad decisions this year?
This is cumulative through the years.
Right, right. But I thought this year's team was a little different.
So I did too, but I actually thought they were just going to lose this game, like not even have a chance at a comeback. And it's because Josh is having an otherworldly season.
Yeah, but I mean, also, too, you're giving Josh Allen a little more credit. How about the idiotic Rams defenders who kept on making stupid penalties, including that 4th-and-15 pass interference, which even I could have avoided.
Yeah, but you know what? You've got to figure out that kept the drive alive. But if that's the other part, too. Yeah. If the other team is letting you back in, you've got to take it. And I'll tell you what. This is how, and I know he had a second interview with North Carolina with UNC. Mm-hmm. This is how Belichick to the Bills becomes a thing. Because there are very few coaches out there who are going to be candidates who you know can be good at situational football, right?
And I don't like the sound of this at all.
No, I'm just saying this great is how offense the right door now. Gets cracked open for Belichick to come in and maybe unseat Sean McDermott. This is how it happens. Because for all the coaching candidates out there, whether it's Ben Johnson or some of these other guys, we don't know what they're like in the big seat. And they could be just as bad at clock management. And Sean McDermott has he has no excuses. How many big games have you been in that have come down to this? It's calling timeouts when you shouldn't be calling them. It's not having two plays ready. It's calling the wrong play. It's the fact that the Bills, even though it would have been a very big long shot, you got to try to block that punt at the end of the game, not have 9 players on the field. Say what you will about Bill Belichick. Guys can be were organized for most of his 20 years in New England. They were organized. 3 phases working in concert.
Not at the end, though. At the end, they were a disaster.
Well, that's also because his roster sucked.
Yeah, but is he going to help this roster? Like, you're going to get rid of Joe Brady, who's found the magic formula for Buffalo, and bring in Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels with Josh Allen? I feel like that sounds awful. So unentertaining.
Okay, but this is the problem. If you are watching the Bills and living and dying with them like I am, then you are waiting for a Sean McDermott mind fart at the end of a game.
But you're also, the other thing too, is you're probably playing over your head. Look at your receivers. I mean, you just, I don't know that you're that great a team.
Amari Cooper is a good receiver. I don't know what you're talking about. And by the way, they had Keon Coleman and Dalton Kincaid were both hurt yesterday. So you have your second round wide receiver and your first round tight end who are supposed to be major pass catchers. And you have enough here from the receiving corps. It's a different type of model.
Well, it said you added Cooper midseason. I'm just saying that was a narrative coming into this season. Also, too, like your defense, they're good, but are they really Super Bowl level?
No, I think they're Super Bowl level, yeah. But no, listen, Tom Brady is saying they're like one of the great defense in the league. I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know. They're one of the great defenses. But the defense, I think, has been better than the sum of its parts. But they couldn't even get a pass rush yesterday, and that's the part that's littered with first and second round picks.
Yeah, and Von Miller did have one nice play. Actually, I was shocked at that.
Well, Epinesa had a good shot, but they didn't have a consistent pass rush. Stafford had all day back there.
Well, you know, they have been getting these flags. Like, they're the new Chiefs with flags, but they're going to play the Chiefs who get all the flags. So, because I think the officials definitely kept them hanging around last night.
Yeah, they did. But here's the other part, is that the Bills' defense has really thrived off takeaways. And yesterday, they were not even in position to be picking off Matthew Stafford. Like, Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, there was no defender in the shot, in the TV shot.
Are you kidding me? Those guys had more contested catches. Kupp never gets more than an inch of separation. He catches everything.
Tom Brady is saying these are throws and catches that are some of the easiest that will ever exist in the NFL. So, yeah, there were a couple contested catches. I'd freaking hope so. It's professional football. They should all be wide open, but it felt like it. Oh, my goodness gracious. Come on, Sean.